Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of humanity and 53% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward full participation in the political, social, economic, and environmental arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, staff, board, volunteers, or sponsors. Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart with Amy Bell. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
And we have two guests on the telephone line, and we'll wait to tell, they did not know what we were going to do a little bit of news first, but we'll wait to put them on until after you read the news.
All right. The Women's March on Washington, set to take place January 21st, is likely to be one of America's biggest protests, with over 200 women's groups participating in Washington, D.C., and more than 300 simultaneous local protests across the nation, The Guardian reported. A march of this magnitude across this diversity of issues has never happened before, said Kaylin Whittingham, president of the Association of Black Women Attorneys. We all have to stand together as a force no one can ignore. For every 100 baby girls born in India, there are 111 baby boys. In China, the ratio is 100 to 115. Back in the 1990s, South Korea reported similar rates, but today they have closed the gap from 116.5 to 105.3, a number comparable to major Western nations such as Canada, the BBC reported.
Well, our guests today are Emily Regal and Laura Phillips, and they are organizers of a grassroots organization, Indivisible KC, organizing to protest against the Trump agenda. And they've got a Facebook or a website presence and what have you. And welcome. Are you both there?
Yes.
Good. Tell us about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Well, this is Emily Regal, and what we're doing is actually using the Indivisible Guide, which was created by former congressional staffers in the wake of the Trump election. And they originally sent this document out as a Google Doc, and it sort of started reaching those of us who were loosely organizing across the country to try and figure out ways to make it known that not everybody agreed with and not everybody was going to support the kind of agenda proposed by the president-elect. So that was sent out initially about a month ago in mid-December as a Google Doc. So it was going around by email and Facebook posts. And then they got themselves organized more quickly. So they have a national website called indivisibleguide.com. And they were featured on the Rachel Maddow show last week, so we knew that it was going to really pick up, that the curve on interest on that was going to be pretty steep. And here in Kansas City, we'd been talking about getting it going. We were all reading the guide and thinking about, well, what are we going to be able to do with this? And once they aired on Rachel Maddow, we knew very quickly we were going to have to get some things put together. So we put together the Facebook page, we put together a website, and within 5 days, we already had people utilizing the tactics outlined in the Indivisible Guide. And on Tuesday, there were mobile offices for Roy Blunt, three of those in the Kansas City area. And we were so excited that people from Kansas City were able to unite together and go and express their concerns about things like the appointment of Jeff Sessions, things about the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, to the staffers, and make their voices known, make their presence known, and begin letting members of Congress know that we are not just going to be silent and sit by and let some of these things take place.
Good, thank you. I came to activism when I turned 50 years old, and that's been a number of years ago. And so I'm aware that we sit back and we think, somebody else will do this. This isn't right, but somebody else will fix it for us. And maybe we're coming to the realization that there's nobody else out there to do it. It's going to be up to us to do it. And we have to perhaps keep going back to those voices that we know. Roy Blunt's not going to be very sympathetic to anything we have to say about the appointment of Jeff Sessions or the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. But they have been elected to represent us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the indivisible guide, it basically was the...
Uh-oh. Oops. Voice dropped off. We're not hearing you, Emily.
Okay.
We're back.
You're right. With Roy Blunt, he is not going to be very sympathetic to it. And do we actually expect to change Roy Blunt's mind? No, we don't think that that's going to happen. But with Indivisible Guide, the people who created the guide and who are speaking out and trying to really encourage people and develop this enthusiasm, essentially, they watched what the Tea Party did. They watched what people with a particular set of very conservative beliefs, how they held the feet of the members of Congress to the fire. And although there are a lot of members of Congress who may not have felt as extreme in the conservative realm, the Tea Party held them to the fire and completely shifted the direction of politics in a far more conservative manner. And so using the progressive agenda and saying, you know what, we've got to swing this back a little bit. And even if the progress we make isn't huge, if we are gradually turning the tide, and as people know, liberals are no longer going to continue to sit by and be polite and expect that people will do the right thing and respect the rights of every American and respect the rights of women and minorities and not take that for granted.
I hope you're right. I'm hoping that if we become a voice like the other side has been for so long, mm-hmm. that we can make a difference and we can change the tide. Like you say, we have just been sitting back thinking, oh, everybody's nice. It'll be fair. Life is mm-hmm. fair, but it hasn't been.
Well, I've noticed, too, that the liberal side of things or the progressive side of things has a tendency to stand back and say, well, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We are just telling the truth, and the truth will win the day. But we're also, you know, the left has to brand their message. The right has been very good at branding their message, and the left has stood back and said, well, the truth will just win. But it doesn't. We also, you know, the progressive movement must also participate in branding if that's how they're, if they're going to make any progress. Progressive progress.
Well, and that branding is kind of what has also helped us to organize so quickly, is that right after the election, there were groups all around the country that came together, and their first question was just, what can we do? How can we make this a different future than we anticipate based on the results of November 8th? And so it started out that we first just organized to come together and know that we were with one another and that we were ready to use our voices in new and different ways. And so we've already had some of those groups in existence, but then the progressive or the indivisible guide has really helped us to formulate an actual plan so that we can move forward in really productive ways to do things that are going to move an agenda and are going to stand up against the Trump agenda.
So, have you been in communication with many other local women's groups? Is this something that is starting to bring people together to work mm-hmm. together?
Right. So, something that we knew going into this and were reminded of very quickly is there are organizations and there are groups who have been at this work for months, years, decades, and that the outcome of the election...
Some of them were actually moving on centuries.
Yeah.
It took the blinders off a lot of people who have been able to live quite comfortably and non-threatened, and who after the election realized I might be a part of this as well, and I might also be threatened, and sort of woke up. And saying, we're not here to reinvent the wheel, and we're not here in any way to say we've got some new and amazing plan. We know that this is really a way to help channel people who might just be getting into activism or just might be really finding their voice and getting their legs under them. It's sort of a starting point and getting people directed into some of those groups that are already have huge projects going on, have huge needs, and that we need to help direct that energy towards them as well. So
Emily, speaking, just interrupting you and speaking of new voices, Amy and I went down right after the election to City Hall and interviewed people, and it was just...
It was beautiful.
But it was mind-boggling how many of them were first-timers and how vocal they were. They stepped right up to the microphone and were willing to be interviewed and shared, and they were first-timers.
I had one woman that told me that she was, like, 75 years old and that one of her bucket list items was to have her voice mean something, and that it was the first time that she had ever been to a protest in her life, and that she was going to do this from here on out. And it was really touching to hear the stories of people who had experienced exactly what you're saying, that moment where they woke up and realized, wait a minute, something is amiss.
And, you know, I think unfortunately we've all been coming together is that we have so many people that have been involved with one particular area or another, and so we're able to connect each other. So like Emily said, we're not reinventing the wheel, so that we are able to connect people more effectively and more efficiently, and so that we are greater in numbers in that regard.
So your website, I don't think you've really given the website yet.
So the website is indivisiblekc.com, and then we also have a Facebook page, and it's a public page, so anybody is able to see it, and that is indivisiblekc on the Facebook. And we have Twitter, indivisible_kc, if people would like to follow Twitter. And what we're using those pages for is basically, you know, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to get involved. And again, we're not trying to say that we're the only way to get involved, but we are creating some that are calls to action, some events such as going to visit the mobile offices of Roy Blunt, and we're going to be doing those on both sides of the state line in the congressional district. And so we'll be posting when we have those events organized, and we'll also let people have access to scripts and access to guides, access to this is the background on some of the issues, here's what we can help focus on, because we know a more unified voice is going to be a louder voice and is more likely to be heard. If we have 50 people showing up with 50 different agendas, then that's not going to be as powerful as 50 people showing up in the name of one agenda for that particular visit.
I think a script is very helpful, and I have to say this, and this is probably as good a time as any. Did you all hear about the Facebook guy that everybody's laughing about who just was so excited because Obamacare is going down? It's going down. You heard about that story, right? The outcome of it was, I think that might have been Laura that said it, the outcome was that somebody said, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, my family and I depend on the Affordable Care Act, and he came back and he said, you idiot, I'm not talking about the Affordable Care Act, I'm talking about Obamacare, I have the Affordable Care Act. You know, this is like the misinformed, malinformed.
Well, it's the branding that I'm talking about, because they took a word and they created a buzzword and they repeated it enough with a negative connotation, and we have just such a flood of information and media, and most of it's just straight entertainment, that when it comes to issues, those buzzwords are all that are sticking in people's minds. And so Obamacare with a negative connotation, that's all a lot of people are picking up. They're not picking up the details of the program or what the plan is to replace it, which apparently they don't have a plan to replace it. They're not catching those things, because that's deeper than our media allows them to go or encourages them to go, maybe. And so they hear the buzzword with the negative connotation, and they see other people using the buzzword with a negative connotation, and they start to celebrate together, and they just, it's almost like a mob phenomenon.
Feeding frenzy.
Yeah, it's very, it's a real thing. And, you know, it's really upsetting. And the worst part about it is if you're one of the individuals that's got caught up in the mob phenomenon and are making irrational decisions and are saying irrational things, that when you're confronted with the fact that you were completely duped, you double down because you don't want to believe that about yourself.
What is that? Mark Twain said it's easier to fool the people than to convince the people they've been fooled.
Yeah.
That's and that certainly holds true. And certainly once you've been fooled, it's really embarrassing to admit that you've been duped, I'm sure.
That actually, on that post that you were talking about where the man was talking about how he wasn't against the Affordable Care Act, he was against Obamacare, what people were saying after that post was like, boy, if that were me, I would have just deleted all of this. That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen on Facebook. And everybody was like, well, I know, right? I would have deleted my entire account after that came out.
I might have killed myself.
Yeah, that they were really just surprised that after being exposed that way, that they had left the comment up, which maybe that was some indication that they had kind of accepted that something was amiss there.
Now, how do you encourage people? Go to the website,
So
read the guide.
Definitely read the guide, which is able to be downloaded for free from at indivisibleguide.com. And like I said, that's the national group's webpage that we're all kind of inspired by Indivisible Guide groups across the country. And what you can also do there, even if you know, if there are people who are live streaming this outside the Kansas City area, they also have on that page a way to find local groups that have registered with Indivisible Guide and who are utilizing it and organizing around it. And Kansas City actually has a couple of groups that have registered as part of that as well. So, like, Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus is one of the groups that's listed on that site. But you can see that there are several throughout Kansas and throughout Missouri. And it has connection and contact information for wherever you would be located. Our Facebook page is where we are right now posting information about events, information about calls to make. So sometimes it's actual in-person events. Sometimes it's here is something that we're doing where we're all going to do the same theme of phone calls on a particular day to the same representative. And so the information about that will be posted there. The Facebook page is really kind of the site to find out what's happening and what's going on. We're not using the Facebook page I don't want to say it's not a dialogue page, but it's not where we're having visitors posting their own information. We want to keep it as streamlined and as straightforward and simple to follow as possible so people can get right to the action items. So it is sort of a one-sided page. And then the website.
I would also direct people to our website, indivisiblekc.com, where we're also posting that same information that Emily mentioned, but we're also posting reflections. So after the fact, people that have participated in some of these calls to action are sharing on a blog their experience on how that happened. And so right now we have a couple stories of people who went to Roy Blunt's mobile offices and were able to share about their experience there. And so the website helps us to be reflective and help us to share those stories about how other people have become involved. But like Emily said, going to the Facebook page really helps you keep in the know right up to the minute as possible.
Our guests today are Laura Phillips, who was just speaking with Indivisible KC, and Emily Regal, also with Indivisible KC. I suppose... Yes?
Well, I actually pulled up this Indivisible document, and I just wanted to read the introduction here. Donald Trump is the biggest popular vote loser in history to ever call himself president-elect. In spite of the fact that he has no mandate, he will attempt to use his congressional majority to reshape America in his own racist, authoritarian, and corrupt image. If progressives are going to stop this, we must stand indivisibly opposed to Trump and the members of Congress, who would do his bidding. Together we have the power to resist, and we have the power to win. Does that kind of... I just wanted to kind of let you speak to that comment, which is a very powerful proclamation there, it seems.
It is, and I would say that when I first opened the Indivisible Guide about a month ago and read that, it connected and resonated so strongly with how I was feeling and the motivation. And I think in a way that for someone who is liberal or progressive or has been strongly Democratic, I would say this, we don't usually use that strong of language. We don't usually use language that could be seen as being that polarizing. But in this situation, we have got to be that polarizing because the president-elect is a polarizing figure and wants to be a polarizing figure. And so I think that it really, that opening paragraph gives so much credence and also just gives a lot of strength and a lot of power to what we're all feeling and saying it's okay to actually feel this strongly about what's going on. And we've got to feel this strongly about it. And we have to act on it.
So, speaking to this idea that maybe prior to now a lot of people didn't like using that polarizing language, do you feel that maybe we should have a little bit earlier? Is that something that perhaps our society does have this norm, you know, don't talk religion or politics, be nice, don't say things that will make other people uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And then maybe we haven't addressed some of the deeper issues that we really have in America. I think a lot of groups have been trying to tell us for a while, particularly groups like Black Lives Matter, that white people in particular have never lived it, so they really don't understand how deeply it goes. And, you know, maybe this is one of those wake-up moments where people who thought everything was okay have kind of realized maybe it wasn't. Do you think it's going to be challenging to break it down, those very heavily indoctrinated taboos of actually challenging people on whether or not they have basic human decency?
I'll step to that or answer that in the sense that I'm actually a pastor, and so I have not been as vocal or as involved because I do recognize that very tenuous relationship between politics and religion, and those are the two things that you're not, you know, supposed to speak about at the dinner table. And but so one of these things moving forward and in the ways that we need to be more perhaps more polarizing, but definitely stronger in our language, is that we need to learn how to have crucial conversations that end with results. So much of what has happened in the past is that we don't know how to have productive, crucial conversations. And so as we move forward, the progressive movement is learning how to have a crucial conversation by being stronger in our language and stronger in our demands and stronger in the ways that we act rather than on the sidelines. For fear of offending someone, which
you've actually brought up the other side of that point, is that a lot of progressive voices recognize the important American doctrine of separating church and state. And a lot of people on the right believe that the church is one of the central voices to challenge government. And we don't. The progressive side doesn't do that. The progressive side wants the church to be the church and the state to be the state, because that's an American ideal. But now you're talking about, is it kind of time to also challenge faith to speak out about what is right and what is wrong in the context of what's happening politically?
With respect to the many different people that are listening to this, I would add that even if you are not a person of faith, that one of the things about the church is that there are many progressive churches that have been very, very frustrated by the Christian right co-opting the language of the Bible and of the message. And I would trust that there are other religions that lean more progressively that also feel the same way. And so even if you are not a person of faith, I hope that people would hear that these progressive religions, these progressive movements are not necessarily saying that this is not a place to have religious conversation or that the church is not a place to have political conversation, but that we believe in a God that is larger than either of those things. And so by the Christian right co-opting that language, you're taking away a part of who God is. And so I do recognize that we don't have all believers on this radio station, but, you know, that's how I would speak to that, by saying, yes, I think that progressive religious movements have tended to shy away, but not because they don't think that there's a place for this, but because that somehow it's bigger than that.
I like that perspective. Thank you for sharing that. And particularly, I have seen people that seem offended when the right co-opts that language. And like you've mentioned, that there's other faiths, and I know particularly Islamic faiths have a big issue with the media and the popular opinion branding their faith with extremist ideals. I mean, I know everybody seems to be facing this in a different way, where people are out there defining their faith for them.
Yeah.
not just in the realm of faith, but we have gotten to a point where everything is so black and white, and either you are for something or you are against something. And this breakdown of issues into being solely your side or my side, one-sided, two-sided, and not allowing for the many perspectives and voices in between any of those, and people almost feeling forced to fall into one camp or the other. And I think this is another thing with the election, is people felt very forced into one line of thinking or another. And a lot of people said, well, I see both options as bad and for different reasons, and so I'm just not going to vote, or I'm going to vote third party, because people aren't being given the space for their varied and subtle differences in perspective to be heard and honored. And so while as much as I say, yes, we've got to get, there is some polarization that maybe needs to come out a little more, I also think that we have to do a better job of appreciating the nuance of issues. And the media does not give us the space to appreciate the nuance of issues.
Amy just reminded me of something that you all may not know about. KKFI is presenting an event, a panel of, in fact, KKFI has a lot of experts in various areas, immigration, gender, lesbian, LGBTQ issues, labor, and we're putting on a panel called Amplifying Community Voices in the Trump Era on January 27th. If you will go on our Facebook page or website, you'll find out more information about it. It's the IBEW Hall at 435 and Holmes, and it's open to the public, and we encourage you to come to that and share information you have with people there, because it's going to be community voices. The panel is just going to speak 5 or 7 minutes each, so the presentation is going to be very short, but then a lot of people will have an opportunity to share. So I hope you can come to that.
Yeah, and it's meant to be more of a way to figure out how we can use media to actually report on the things that these groups are doing, because mm-hmm. the standard media will not do it. You know, our local, our local news stations aren't doing it.
Or the standard media is possibly going to spin it in a different way. We
exactly.
have a group of individuals that went to a representative's office that was an open house to speak and offer their opinions. And because there were so many progressive voices there, one of the main media channels here in the Kansas City area branded it as being protesters, when in fact it was constituents that wanted their voice heard, and that's very different.
I've been at multiple events, not even all of them political, where the news just completely got the whole thing wrong and didn't really bother to investigate after the effect. Like, facts aren't important to people anymore. This is what's happening. It's the post-fact era, and we have to combat that. As a community radio station, we need to make sure that people's voices are heard and what they're saying is heard, and it's not a spin that is supportive of the administration or a local government body. We need to actually ensure that people's voices are heard for what they're saying.
That was great, Amy. Thank you, Laura Phillips.
Thank you.
Of Indivisible KC, and Emily Regal, Indivisible KC, for the work that you're doing. And hopefully keep in touch with us and let us know when you want to be back, and we can give you 5 minutes or whatever to announce something that you're doing that's important to the progressive community. And Amy Bell is my co-host on Every Woman. I'm Sharon Lockhart, and one of our illustrious co-hosts who's been absent for a while just joined us in the studio, Marvita Oliver. And again, thank you to Laura and Emily for joining us today.
And now we've got a few station breaks that we're going to take, and we'll be back with Rebecca Richardson.
With the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Starting six centuries ago, the Western male elite has built a viciously patriarchal world by making war on women and exploiting them mercilessly. The profits of the global capitalist system have been made possible by the genocide and plunder of women. Women, the Oppressed Majority, Part 1, A History of Male Violence, on Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
KKFI would like to sincerely thank you for another amazing year as Kansas City's community radio station. Your support allows us to educate, to entertain, and to help make a difference in our community. We look forward to continuing this great privilege throughout 2017. From all of us at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Happy New Year.
Support for KKFI provided by AFT Local 691, co-presenters of the Kansas City Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools event, an open house on Thursday, January 19th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Paseo Academy, 4747 Floor Avenue. This event will showcase local students, teachers, and regional organizations that make our community strong. This Thursday, the 19th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at Paseo Academy. Learn more on Facebook at AFT Local 691.
The second annual Kansas City Folk Festival is back Sunday, February 19th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Westin Crown Center Hotel. This one-day, all-ages indoor event is for music lovers, families, and art appreciators looking for a summer festival vibe in the dead of winter. Supporting KKFI, Kansas City Folk Festival features an artisan market, children's programming, an Irish dance, a morning sing-along, as well as local, national, and international artists on multiple stages, including a kids' stage featuring Grammy Award-winning children's duo, the Okie Dokie Brothers, along with Kathy Fink, Marcy Markser, and KC's own Brandon Draper's Drum Safari. Tickets and information about the February 19th Kansas City Folk Festival, kcfolkfest.org.
This is Sharon Lockhart on Every Woman, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And in the studio is Amy Bell and Marvita Oliver. And on the line with us is Rebecca Richardson of the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus to talk to us about the Sister Women's March next Saturday. Hi, Rebecca. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
We just had Indivisible KC, Laura Phillips and Emily Regal on to talk about the work they're doing, and they mentioned the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus as part of their work.
Yeah, we did. We did sign on. We saw the Indivisible guide and thought it made a lot of sense. I mean, our mission has been to get progressives elected and really deal with legislation. So we saw that guide, and it was like, okay, this is right up our alley. So we're actually adapting it as our work plan for the next year or so.
Well, good.
So we were ready to go.
Also, I'm going to mention to you right now, we're doing Amplifying Community Voices in the Trump Era at the IBEW Hall on January 27. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but we're trying to get community groups to come out and get together and share their experiences and stories and so that we can connect and become more unified with our voices.
And to do that with the forum of broadcast media so that we have a way to get those voices amplified and out to the public as much as possible. Because that's the purpose of radio, is to amplify the voice, and the organizations are the ones that are going to do the organizing and do the thing. So,
right. It's a great idea. We were planning on participating, actually. So
I wanted to bring this up because the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, I know prior to Trump's election, around the time of your annual torch dinner, everything seemed to be going towards that moment when we were going to wake up to the first female president. Has that been a real blow to the members of your organization? Have you felt that? You feel very deeply, more deeply maybe even than some.
To me it was shocking. And I think the more you know about government, the worse you realize that it is. So I kind of I think it took people who weren't so involved in politics a while for it to sink in what the implications were. And to me, it was like, you know, that night, it's like, okay, this is, you know, really bad for women, very bad for women. So, I mean, you know, but on the other hand, I think I've been involved in, you know, women getting, you know, an equal place at the table for quite a long while. So you kind of understand that this is a long-term proposition that we've got going on. I mean, when the Women's Political Caucus started in, it was 1971, there was basically 0% participation by women in government. Now we're up to about 20. So I personally knew that it was, you know, even if you win the presidency, it's still a long battle. So, yeah, you know, so of course it was a blow. But I think, you know, we kind of have rebounded and tried to, instead of, you know, rolling around in our PJs, tried to get up and start working on the next election, quite frankly.
I think it speaks to the misogyny in this country, actually, that I mean, we may not agree with everything Hillary's ever done or said, but she has to be one of the most, if not the most qualified person ever to run for an office, and to be treated with the disrespect that some people did is just beyond my imagination.
How about the fact that the only faithless electors were faithless to Hillary?
Well, yes. Yeah.
I think at a certain point you've got to just move on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and look forward. I mean, you know, if you look at James Comey coming out with his announcements, if you look at Russian hacking, this is a very, I mean, to me, beyond just Hillary and women, it's a very deeply disturbing time in our, and I feel that our democracy is being threatened in a very basic way. So, you know, it's like I'm kind of beyond the who are the faithless electors and who are not. I mean, it's we've got a problem here in this country.
Yeah.
A big problem. And so I guess I'm more focused on how do we survive the next 4 years than the details of, I mean, you know, how do we not have, you know, people like James Comey interfering in elections? You know, how do we not have Russians interfering in our elections? You know, I mean, I think all of those things were, you know, part of it. So,
well, and
not
look,
quite sure what the answer is there.
And looking at some of the, I mean, just in general, women in politics, the United States is not doing well compared to the rest of the world. Just quickly here, I guess Rwanda has the highest female to male legislatures of any country in the world, where actually in Rwanda a majority of their legislature is female, followed by Cuba, Sweden, and South Africa. The United States is barely making it onto the map of the percentage of women legislatures. And, you know, the problems that specifically face women getting into political power, I think we saw that play out in this presidential election. And particularly an organization that is dedicated towards getting women elected, it's a lot to try to take on. It's a lot.
Well, and, you know, if you've worked at it for a while, you realize it is a lot. You know, it's like overcoming the history of, you know, this country. You know, so, yeah, you know, it's going to take more than a year. It's going to take more than an election cycle. But, I think, you know, we're used to saying we're number one. It's like we're not number one. We're more like number, I think it's like 97 or something like that. I mean, it's like really bad. It's not like a little bit. It's really bad.
We're 33rd in national legislators.
Not get too burdened by that and really, you know, keep going.
She said, Marvita has something to say.
Yeah.
That's a great point that you were saying, not to get too burdened in the statistics and things, because, like you said, it is a long-standing history with the United States. I'm not the most political person I know, but I do know that, you know, you're aware of things, and whether you call yourself political or not. And this was just a crazy period with this election. But at the same time, we have to learn stuff from it. When we move forward and stop creating the same mistakes, there was a lot that media and non-media people did to contribute to the Trump phenomenon, you know, as far as just saying his name. He's a media expert. And so he knows that any news is good news for him, and he's taking advantage of it every step of the way. Meanwhile, we got so distracted with some of the craziness that we weren't even, people who know better weren't even looking at, you know, other things that were more focused, that were more positive and forward-looking. And I appreciate what you had to say when you said, you know, you got to get over it and move on, take an approach that's more proactive and look for ways to solve problems rather than, you know, rehashing everything that the media is still rehashing and saying his name over and over again.
I have to say this because it's just eating away at me. I know a woman whom I knew was supporting Trump. I could tell it by something I said to her last summer. I happen to know, because I was a committee precinct woman, that she was not registered to vote and had lived in the district for 11 years and was not registered to vote. Whether she voted this election or not, I don't know. But she came out yesterday and actually told me that she thought that what came out of Hillary's mouth was much more vitriolic than anything Trump said. And that just absolutely astounds me. What person in this world could believe that?
Well, you need to look at, you know, the techniques of the right. I mean, one basic technique with it is Newt Gingrich, who championed this, is you attack people at their strength. So, you know, when you look at, you know, like what, you know, like Trump was saying Hillary is weak or whatever, I mean, you know, there is basically just they're very good at repeating the same message over and over again. They attack people at their strengths. And thirdly, they will stop at nothing. And I think, you know, progressives have to get over being nice. We have to say it like it is. And, you know, the discussion before about not being polite to talk about religion or politics, mm-hmm. We have to start talking about politics, and in particular, we need to start talking about women's rights. Because, I mean, you know, the idea, you know, the kind of 1950s notion that the woman stays home and, you know, the man goes to work and everything's great, that's not the reality. For families to make it, both people have to be working. But we're still, you know, there with the pay gap and all that kind of stuff. Women crucially need, you know, access to reproductive rights, including birth control and abortion. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, some of us are old enough to either have heard about or remember when women just died from abortions. And so even though it's not polite to talk about it, in particular in church or with your, you know, with certain people, we've got to stop self-censoring, and we've just got to say it like it is.
You know, even someone who feels very comfortable being outspoken, and I feel that I do, when it comes to publicly announcing on my Facebook page or something like that, that abortion is an important issue, I am shy. And I'm working to get over that shyness, because it is something that I know there's family members that I have that will be, praying real hard for me after I post something like that. And, you know, I just know what it can cause, and it's hard to have that courage, but it's time to. And we do actually have a caller. We have Drew from Olathe.
Just before Drew speaks, I'd like to say I want to remind everyone that women's lives are important, too. a woman having a baby that she can't afford to take care of or that is unwanted isn't a good thing for a baby to be born into. And a woman's life is an important life. And it seems that the people who are anti-abortion or reproductive rights have no regard for women.
Well, thankfully, the women actually who wanted pregnancies and were forced to abort based on a really horrific conditions and found it very tragic, and the people who were really psychologically scarred by the judgmental laws that were in place that made them say that they were murdering their child when in fact they were, with the help of their doctor, alleviating what was thought to have maybe been causing pain and stress on their child. I mean, it's people are speaking out, and it's a good thing. Drew, I'm getting to you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Actually, I had a couple comments. One of them is to remember and to get off some of what were you saying about certain things being stuck on. This whole Russia issue is getting me really annoyed and just wanting to scream because it's a red herring by the Democratic Party, and they need to acknowledge that cross-check was one of the problems. And I don't think Russia swayed the election. I think Kris Kobach's cross-check helped sway the election. And the Democrats need to acknowledge it, and they don't want to. They want this false value put up because they contributed to some of this voter disenfranchisement when Bernie was running in the primary, and they're never going to get their – all of this is not going to come together unless they address this problem. And for what Sharon was saying about abortion and economics, and, you know, I think some of these people are true blue religious people, but, you know, what I'm about to say may sound entirely cynical, but I think some of these people want the kids to be born because then if the parent can't afford to take care of them and educate them, they'll get into the military, and then we can start another war, and these people will be perfectly happy and elated to use these people as cannon fodder to make more money, these military corporations.
I would agree with you. There's some of that, too.
And I'll leave it at that. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Drew. I think that looking at those forces that are behind the scenes is something that, well, those behind-the-scenes forces came really out in front of the scenes in this last election, I guess, and that maybe was a little bit shocking to everyone. I don't know. Are you seeing kind of some shock about these things at play that are below the surface, Rebecca?
I'm not quite sure what he was saying. I mean, when, you know, all the security people say yes, the Russians were hacking. You know, I'm very shocked at that. I mean, you know, it's like win or lose, you want a fair election. You know, the notion that a foreign country would intervene, and that we really seemingly didn't. I don't think we were prepared to deal with that.
Well, what Drew mentioned on the cross-check issue, that was one of the Kris Kobach's, it might have been his development, it might have been somebody else's, but it was one of the voter suppression techniques to challenge people's voter registration. But also he was talking about the Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders and I don't really know. That actually, thought had come out to be also a red herring.
I think people need to understand that this is, you know, we don't have a direct democracy. Mm-hmm. You know, we have primaries that are run by parties. And so each state has different rules. And you've got to know what the rules are, and you have to work with them. I mean, that's one of the things that we train people to do at the Women's Political Caucus, to know what the rules are. So, like, the Bernie people or whatever who are shocked about, you know, varying rules, you know, I mean, it's like, that's our system. So if you don't like the way that panned out, you need to get in there and change the system. But we do not have a we act like we have a direct democracy, but that's not what we have. We have a republic. It's representational. So, I mean, you need to know what the rules are, and if you don't like them, you need to change them.
That's a good point. And the fact that you were very specific about something that somebody can do something about, that's very helpful. Some of this other stuff that people are talking about, it doesn't really help me. It doesn't point me in a direction to say, okay, you can do this. And I don't know much about the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, but whenever I see an opportunity for women to get together and work together, I think that's usually a positive thing. I won't say always, but it's usually a positive thing. So I'll be looking forward to hearing more about your organization and seeing what you guys are doing. And I really do like what you said about, yeah, you got to get over it and just keep moving on, because otherwise, what is that going to help you with? So thanks a lot.
Well, tell us what's happening next Saturday, Rebecca.
Well, it's going to be a big, in conjunction with the Women's March in Washington. It's on Saturday. Our event is going to be at Washington Square Park. And even though it's called a Women's March, really it's a rally. So there's not going to be that much marching. So people who are concerned with, you know, having to go a long distance or whatever, basically you can come and bring a lawn chair if you want. But at any rate, it's going to start at 12:30 with music and so on. It should be a lot of fun. They're going to be food trucks and so on and music. Then we're going to have, there's a whole roster of speakers that speak to a lot of issues that women are concerned with. The focus of the Women's March from the, you know, May March in Washington has been on issues, and so the local model is kind of based on that as well. So we've got MC Julie Jones with KPRS. We have Zoya Khan from the KU Muslim Student Association talking about her issues. Rabbi Doug Alpert, Julie Justice, our Kansas City Councilwoman, is going to talk about LGBTQ issues and equality. Imam Bilal Muhammad talking about responsible policing. So some of the issues in terms of the Black Lives Matter. Then we have some spoken word performance. Unique Hughley, who's a graduate of Paseo Academy. We have Jose Torres talking about immigration, which is a huge issue. Then we have Taylor Hirth talking about women's issues and violence against women, sexual harassment and assault. And she's been a victim of sexual assault and has been very brave and open about it. And she's also a Planned Parenthood volunteer. So she'll be very interesting to hear from. We've got Sheila Styron, who's a lifelong advocate for people with disabilities. We have Una Nolan, Director of Studies at the Transgender Institute, and she's hostess of Trans Talk on KK1, or 90.1 KKFI. Judy Sherry talking about grandparents against gun violence. And then we're going to have singing, and the Python drill team will be there. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, maybe
so
every
that's
woman.
Kind of the rundown of the speakers.
Maybe every woman can come down and do some interviewing before our show next week. I don't know if we'll be able to or not, but we can give it a try.
Sounds like a great event.
Yeah, if you look on our Facebook page, we've got the speakers posted there, so okay. I probably messed up some of their names. But at any rate, it's basically covering the full range of issues, and, you know, their focus, one of their first statements is, you know, women's rights are human rights and human rights are women's rights. So that's, you know, Hillary Clinton's famous quotation. So, I mean, you know, and I think when you you look at what's going on, it's like you can't really separate women's rights out separately, because they impact whole families and our whole society so directly.
So that's next Saturday at 12:30 at Washington Square Park, which is down at in the Crown Center. Is it a median?
Right across the street from Union Station. they can actually take the streetcar there.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And they're going to have, it's going to be, you know, ADA accessible and porta potties and all that stuff, accessible restrooms right there and all that.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I think we're about ready to wrap up here.
Rebecca Richardson with the Greater Kansas City Women's Political Caucus, and I think Amy has some music queued up. I want to announce that at 4 p.m. in D.C., 3 o'clock our time, a rally started at McPherson Square in Washington, D.C., that will be going on every night between now and the election from 4 p.m. It will be a march, a rally. RefuseFascism.org is there with lots of famous people supporting that, whom I could name, but I won't. And Amy, have you got something queued up for us?
Yeah, I have. We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing by Heaven 17.
Oh, I want to say first that I saw Green Day last night, and I said, oh, Amy, we got to play. It's called No Trump, No KKFI, No Fascist USA.
You said No KKFI.
Oh, I did say No KKFI. That was a slip. Freudian, probably. Yeah, No Trump, No KKK, No
Fascist
USA. And Amy said, oh, I hate that group. So she picked the song.
It was also just a chant, okay, in my defense. All right, well, thank you for joining us, and join us next week on KKFI at 3 o'clock for Every Woman, and hopefully maybe we'll get some interviews at some of these live events going on. So here's Heaven 17 with We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing.